Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how was your Christmas?
It was fantastic. I am about to explode still from food.
Yeah, you know what I got for Christmas?
Food?
Fat. I got fat.
I'm pretty sure that's what we all got.
Yeah, that's the best. I don't know about the best part of Christmas, but it's a very, very good part about Christmas. Hope you guys are enjoying Christmas and or your holiday of choice. Before we get started, I do want to, like I say every week, please, if you like the show, please subscribe, rate, review on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out. You guys have been doing a really good job past couple weeks, keeping us up in the standings, getting eyes on the product. That's my marketing speak. But yeah, really appreciate every single person who does it. Also, big announcement. We are going bi-weekly, two episodes a week instead of just one. We decided that we don't want to take 10 years to do this. Five sounds better.
It will still take a long time, but this way we have half as many questions to think up.
Yeah, so we are going to stick with listener questions on our Sunday/Monday episodes. We have a different segment for that time. We're going to release on Wednesday night, last Thursday, you know. I'll edit and post it Wednesday night, but most of you guys probably will not be listening to on. I know some of the power listeners like listen to it as soon as it goes up, which I really do appreciate. I like that we inspired such a fervor, but twice a week, guys, twice as much Simpsons show for you, for your ear holes.
That's two whole commutes you can count as marked.
Well, it depends on how long your commute is. This week's episode, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Episode 7 of 16, written by Jeff Martin, directed by Wes Archer, even though he has a very strange listing, like Bud Archer or something if you read the credits on the show, which is strange, but it's still just Wes Archer. Originally aired February 21st, 1991, of course, guest starring Danny DeVito. Original broadcast, it finished 26th in the ratings, Nielsen rating 15.4. Approximately 14.1 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag, I will not sell land in Florida. Is that a reference to something I'm not aware of, Matt?
I believe when Florida first became habitable with the advent of air conditioning, people sold a whole bunch of land down here that turned out to be complete swampland and garbage that no one could actually use. So I assume Bart was swindling his classmates and the teachers by telling them that they could buy land in Florida cheap, 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 and it turns out to be useless swampland.
We are now the third most populous state, by the way, Matt.
That's true. Turns out you can't live in swampland. Who knew?
Just need to fill it with sand and put... get some landscaping on top of it.
Exactly. And just don't dig too deep.
Yeah. Couch gag, Maggie pokes out of Marge's hair. Yeah. Oldie buddy goodie.
Simple.
Simple.
Clean.
Episode has also the first appearance of Mona Simpson. Mother Simpson. Does not have Glenn Close is the one I'm thinking of, but... That's the one she most famously is a voice. When she has made her big appearance, it was Glenn Close, but in Mother Simpson. But she's also been voiced by Maggie Roswell and Trust McNeil.
Wow.
So, first appearance of her. Episode starts with a wonderful McBain clip. Him throwing Senator Mendoza out a window.
Which haven't we all wanted to do that with our senators at one point or another?
If you throw a senator out of a window, you're pretty buff, like McBain. But he, I want to hold a meeting in bed. Is that what he says to the lady at the end? And then we get a Bond outro, and, we cuts to Grandpa and, Jasper watching it in a theater and complaining loudly as old people want to do. I have to think it's at least a reference to Statler and Waldorf.
I would assume. It's funny because the things they complain about is like, oh, the screen was too small. The floor was sticky. Have you been to movie theater in the past 50 years? Come on now.
Well, they're old people. And I think that is, it's hard not to reference the Muppets all the time. And Statler and Waldorf are a pretty big part of it. So I would say, yes, they're doing that. Grandpa gets worked up, complains to a manager, usher. I don't know what that the kid is, but. He complains, gets worked up, has mild arrhythmia, and goes to the hospital. At the same time, the Simpsons are eating dinner. Bart and Lisa are engaging in combat through pantomime. Thought that was really fun.
Which is fantastic. They do a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to enjoy the fact that they can continue to insult each other even with their parents' disapproval. But they get a call that Abe's in the hospital. They go see him. Dr. Hibbert is, you know, yeah, he's mild rhythm. He'll be fine. Abe kind of has this moment where he's, you know, worried about dying or realizes he could die. And so he decides to tell Homer that he has a half-brother. A Herb.
Yes, it turns out that carnival ladies will occasionally have sex for money. Who knew?
Yes. They do things your mother would never do, like have sex for money.
And that's pretty impressive that she was able to track him down, because if she does that with him, I imagine she has quite the business in cities all over, but she knew it was his.
Well, yeah, timeline works out roughly, you know, 9 months-ish. But, Abe beats a lady of the night at a carnival. They have a child. It is put into, give it to the Shelbyville orphanage. Mona Simpson, this is where we first see her, makes him promise not to tell Homer, which he immediately, he remembers this and realizes that he just told him.
Oops, never mind, just kidding.
Forget all that. But Homer decides he's going to find his brother. We get Bart saying the word bastard about 12 times in a row, because that's what he is.
It is the correct usage of the word.
Yeah, exactly. He is a bastard. Bastard, bastard, bastard. He tracks down the Shelbyville Orphanage, which is across the street from where it used to be, before Homer realizes that.
He only had a mild breakdown before he realized that.
Where he screams the title of the episode in this agonized sorrow. But we see Dr. Hibbert's long-lost brother. Do we ever... I want to say we see him again later on down the road, do we?
He's in a background joke somewhere at some point. I think it's in one of the clip shows.
Mm-hmm. They'll probably mine him for an episode one of these days. Have a Dr. Hibbert. I'm amazed we haven't really seen much of a Dr. Hibbert focus when he's one of these long running characters that doesn't really have much besides being like a caricature.
Yeah, and especially now, I doubt they'll bring him back anytime soon.
That's very true. but Dr. Hibbert's long lost brother, who has a mustache, tries to subtly tell Homer that his brother is in Detroit.
But Homer is as thick-skulled as always.
Yeah, he just gets more angry and angry and angry when he's like, you might want to say that Philadelphia is in the city of brotherly love, but Detroit... Finally, Homer just gives him $20, and they understand each other, and
yeah.
Yes, it's in Detroit. So Homer calls all the Herb Powells in Detroit, which we find out that he was adopted by the Powells. And finally, he goes to an H Powell. We hear Danny DeVito's lovely voice for the first time, which we're going to talk about it a lot, but he does an amazing job.
Fantastic. He does he knocks it out of the park, really.
Yeah, I know. The voice acting part is a thing that a lot of, I don't know, you get a lot of celebrities doing guest work on animated shows, and they don't really do they just are their voices, and they don't really do much of the acting. In the voice acting, but he does an amazing job. Nancy Cartwright even has mentioned in her memoir how delightful he was to work with, even in that short. He was very busy at the time, of course. He was very, very popular. Coming off the success of a lot of movies, and he was still a top-notch professional.
And they got him.
They did get him. It was he did a great job. They have a... Homer tells him that he's his long-lost half-brother. Danny DeVito, or Herb, excuse me, has a moment for emotion. And Homer is bashing the phone and blaming it on a bad connection. I like the fact that they use Herb to point out a lot of the dumb things that Homer does and make them not, just normal.
No, they're definitely a product of environment, not so much genetics.
Yes, exactly. Homer invites them over, and Herb's like, no, why don't you guys come over to my place? And we find out he lives in a gigantic mansion. And that we cut to the commercial.
And when we come back, we see the Simpsons on a road trip to Detroit. We have no idea how long they've been in the car, but it seems like long enough for Bart and Lisa to get a little pissy.
Are we there yet?
No, and if you don't shut up, I'll turn this car around. Oh, but I want to see my brother. Oh, Homer, it was an idle threat. Oh, Marge.
More Marge.
But eventually, Homer, in a big hurry, gets pulled over by the cops, and the cop, upon seeing him, mistakes him for Herb and says, oh, never mind, sir, sorry about that. And, of course, Homer, being dense as can be, doesn't realize that and is like, oh, sure, you know.
I do like the shot that's framed that way. Like, there's a big shot of the cop's gun right next to Homer's head, and he's, like, ducking down in the car. It's really framed well.
Homer is terrified of the cops. Because I'm sure he's had lots of run-ins with them in the past.
Yes.
But after this, we cut to... Well, actually, we go to another guy recognizing him in the bathroom. And Homer, of course, is oblivious and is like, oh, sure, whatever. But after that, we cut to Herb in the boardroom with his executives. And they are lamenting the status of Powell Motors. Apparently, they're just getting eaten alive by the Japanese. And there's several great jokes in here. Their new car is going to be named Persephone, and of course Herb is like, who the hell is Persephone? And they go into the background. Persephone was a Greek goddess.
Pomegranate seeds.
And Herb interrupts and he goes, people don't want cars named after hungry old Greek broads. Which, you know, to be fair, I'm sure no one would buy a car named Persephone.
They want cars named Mustang and Cheetah.
You know, things, ferocious things.
Well, to be fair, he's right. I mean,
oh, absolutely. He's 100% right. But I have a feeling it's not so much the names that people are the reason people aren't buying his vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes into, he asks, why did I hire you guys? And they're like, oh, we went to Harvard like you. And we find out that Herb, you know, cleaned up after everyone. He was the janitor. He did the dishes. To which one of the executives replies, oh, now I remember you. Which hopefully he gets fired soon after that. But Herb eventually just leaves the meeting defeated and claiming he's just a lonely guy. And at that point, he goes home. And as we see the Simpsons outside of his mansion, convinced they're in the wrong place, Herb pulls up and Homer goes up and starts tapping on the glass of the limo because why wouldn't you do that to the limo you just came across? And there's a real great gag as Herb rolls the window down and he is framed exactly as Homer is. And you get to see Herb's face for the first time because up until this point, Herb's face has been shrouded.
Hidden in shadows, shot from behind.
Exactly. And so you see that his face is exactly Homer's face, just with a little more hair. And we've actually pulled this clip of their first meeting because it's so great. You get to hear them say, comment on the fact that Homer is fatter and balder. And Herb gets to see the family for the first time, and we're going to play it for you now.
Hello in there.
Homer?
Herb? You look just like... Except you got a little more, and a little less. God, I feel so... Homer!
Welcome to my home, brother.
Holy moly, the bastard's rich!
Herb, allow me to introduce my family. This is my wife, Marge.
Hello.
Hello. You old dog, she's gorgeous.
Thank you.
And our three children, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Mr. Powell.
All born in wedlock?
Yeah, though the boy was a close call.
So, Lisa, are you the little hellraiser your father told me about?
No, sir. I can assure you I'm not.
I'm the little hellraiser, sir.
Would you like to hold the baby, Herb?
Oh, I'm afraid I wouldn't know how.
No, what's to know? Just dive in. Catch!
God, that new baby smell. Homer, you're the richest man I know.
I feel the same about you.
So, of course, Herb is excited to meet the family, mistakes Lisa as the little Hellraiser, to which Bart says, No, that's me. Don't, I got this. I'm the little Hellraiser. There's actually a scene where Bart calls Herb Uncle Herb, and for some reason, Herb's like, oh, that's so formal, which I didn't realize that was formal, whatever, and asks him to call him Unky Herb, to which Bart is immediately happy to do so.
Well, I think that it's, they managed to put a lot of character into Herb in a very short amount of time.
Absolutely. You can tell he's a very lonely guy, and just the idea of having a family really appeals to him.
Yeah, he's very excited about meeting his family. Rags to riches story. Thinks that Uncle Herb is too formal, and he wants Unky Herb. He wants to be close to these people, even though he's just met them. And it makes him very likable very quickly. Of course, Danny DeVito's voice acting goes a long way in helping along, but you like Herb immediately. He's immensely likable.
Absolutely. He is like the uncle that you always wanted. He's like, oh, what do you want to do this? All right, we'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. The Marge and him go back and forth on if he's spoiling the children.
Well, it's actually funny because Herb introduces Homer to her, says that, you know, anytime you want, Chef can get you what you want. And of course, Homer's like, wait, you mean you tell me if I'm Christmas morning, if you have a rumble in my tummy, I can get pork chops with applesauce at any time? And of course, Herb thinks this is hilarious, not realizing Homer is serious. And then so they get to know each other over the next few days. They take the kids out to the pool, and Herb and Marge start catching up, and Marge realizes that, oh, my life can be summed up in less than a sentence.
I know, that's really...
And they just do a whole bunch of stuff together. Lisa wants to go for pony rides, Bart wants to go for a boat ride, so Herb compromises and brings a pony onto the boat, a giant yacht, so they can play on it. And then they get taken to the zoo, where Herb pays off the zookeepers to let them backstage to play with the penguins. At some point, Herb takes Homer to his business and says, here, I'm going to give you a car. And Homer's like, no, you can't do that. And Herb's like, oh, are you kidding me? There's like $40 worth of steel in these things. Which, hey, by the way, Herb, if you want to know why your cars aren't selling, maybe that's something. But Homer being Homer, he asks for a big car, and they don't make big cars because people don't want big cars. And then Homer asks for one lots of pep, and they don't have one lots of pep because this car company apparently only makes Econo boxes. They don't have any... They don't have a variety of car lines. They just have the one.
Named Persephone.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, Herb sees this as the exact problem with his car company, is that they're not listening to what people want. And he says, Homer, I want you to design me a car. And I want it to be exactly what you want. I want to pay you $200,000 a year. And Homer's like, and I want to let you! And then we cut to a commercial break, and...
This is... both the second and third acts are just a lot of kind of montages of the family having those fun times that Matt described. And then Homer by himself with these engineers. Homer... The engineers don't like Homer.
I'm shocked.
I know, it's crazy. But He's trying to, give him, he doesn't know how to handle himself. It reminded me a lot of Samson and Delilah.
Absolutely.
The fact that as soon as he got some confidence, which Herb, became his little motivational speaker kind of figure for him real quick. You know, he's like, he kind of charges in, he gets kind of discouraged because the engineers don't listen to him. He's not really sticking up for himself. They ask him to go get coffee. He just kind of leaves. Herb gives him some confidence. And he runs back in there and tells him exactly what he wants. And through all this, we hear a lot about Homer's problems with quote unquote modern cars, I guess. Was it the cup holder isn't big enough?
Which is true. I mean, honestly, you can't even fit anything larger than a 44-ounce cup in a modern cup holder. I mean, come on.
Not all of us drink gallon jugs of Coke Zero at a time.
Well, you should. It's good. It's good value.
That is true. What is it? We need horns in more than one place.
And they should all play La Cucaracha.
And they should play La Cucaracha. What is it? Brainstorm an idea for a separate bubble dome for the kids.
That's true, with optional restraints and muzzles, because bubble domes never go out of style, and neither do tail fins.
Tail fins and shag carpeting.
Oh my god.
It's like you don't really understand what the car is going to look like necessarily. But it seems like it's almost, and Herb never even looks at it. Never checks in.
Nope, he's like, I got a family now, screw this, I'm out.
Yeah, he's watching Itchy and Scratchy with Bart and Lisa. Sunday Bloody Sunday is the name of this one. It's really fun. It's a nice little tiny Itchy and Scratchy cartoon. They're playing croquet. But eventually the engineers are calling in to Herb and trying to tell him, this guy's terrible. He's making a terrible car. Please do something. And he tells them to hang up and call back and say the exact opposite of everything you just said. And he calls the kids over to listen. We've pulled this clip. It's really funny. Here it is.
Bart, Lisa, come over here.
What is it, Unky Herb?
I want you to hear what the guys down at the plant think of your old man. Yellow.
Homer Simpson is a brilliant man with lots of well-thought-out practical ideas. He is ensuring the financial security of this company for years to come. Oh, yes. And his personal hygiene is above reproach.
Whoa, I just agreed.
Homer, I'm
way
impressed.
To go,
pretty good, eh?
Yeah. Clip works, so this is like a really funny gag because it makes you work backwards from what the engineers are actually thinking. You know, they describe, and his hygiene is beyond reproach. I love
beyond
that
reproach.
I love that one. There's even some talk on the news group about if we've heard, like, there's been a lot of references to Homer's body odor lately. And yes, there have been references along the way. It's just, I think they just decided to highlight what kind of disgusting person Homer is, especially in this episode with both Grandpa and the engineers thinking he smells terrible. You know, they're testing Homer. He's in like a wind tunnel.
Which, if you're going for bubble domes, that's probably about the right shape.
That's true. That's true. You know, the kids and the Marge are, you know, still palling around with Herb. We're seeing the kind of the engineering process with Homer, and we actually see early design for the Homer. It's like red. It actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a retro 50s like Cadillac or something.
Yeah, it had like kind of the like a almost a Lamborghini or Ferrari styling mixed with that kind of retro appeal with Homer's input, obviously. But then he, of course, scratches it out and does his own little rough doodle, which, frankly, the rough doodle looks better than
the final product.
The final product. But we finally get to the unveiling of the car. It's a big event. The Pope is there, apparently.
Your Holiness.
Your Holiness. We get a bad car commercial, which it's really fun. I vaguely remember the car commercials from that time period. They're very arty and kind of, you know, filled with models. And
It was back before we were licensing classic rock tunes for our car commercials.
Yeah, that's true. But we've pulled this clip and the unveiling, and here it is.
All my life, I have searched for a car that feels a certain way. Powerful like a gorilla, yet soft and yielding like a Nerf ball. Now at last, I have found it.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the car designed for the average man. The Homer.
Everyone sees the car. The Homer. The car built for Homer.
They're awestruck at its terribleness.
Yeah, it's... my God. They have a Hot Wheels model of this. A little tiny toy car of this. I really want to find it. One of our listeners, Chris, has linked to it before. It's so ugly. It's the ugliest car. It's not helped by the fact that it's green. The tail fin looks terrible.
It kind of seems like they were like, all right, think back to the ugliest car you can think of. Give me its... That's the worst feature. We're all put it together in one car.
Yeah. And someone asked how much the car costs. And Herb is told it cost him $82,000. He laments about, yeah, I love the zoo, but I'm ruined.
See, I'm trying to figure out how exactly he was ruined by that car, unless he like already made a ton of them and was just like, yeah, we'll make it. We'll sell a bunch of them. That's the only possible way he could be ruined by just making one prototype car.
Yeah, because car companies make prototypes all the time.
Exactly.
They do it every year. They make prototypes, most of which we never see. A lot of them are just kind of put on the drawing board and added to later or shelved for later years. But I can buy it. It's fine for the premise of it. I mean, his car company's struggling anyway. Maybe like the total effort put in by all his engineers and all that just cost him so much money that he couldn't recover. Regardless... He's out of business. We have the family's seeing Herb off at the bus stop. He says he has no brother. A little harsh, but I mean, Homer did ruin him, so I can't. I mean, he didn't supervise Homer at all, even after he knew Homer was a dumb person. Like, there's a point where he's like, Homer asks him why he wants some part of this project, and he's just, because you're a regular schmo. And yet he still trusts him.
It's like, you think there should be some oversight? Nah, just go with it, whatever.
Yeah.
I think a large part of that was, like, Herb was very distracted by having a family, and he's like, having a family is what I want. And I actually think there is a, not really a moral, but kind of an underlying message that, yeah, having a family is great, but you also have to work. Having too much work and not having a family also sucks. You got to find a happy medium. And Herb failed at that.
Yeah, Herb, well, it's too much too fast. He just never really, I mean, he had adoptive parents. We don't really have any kind of insight as to how they brought him up. But they made him a go-getter. He's driven. But the episode ends with Grandpa coming to the mansion and finding that Herb's not there and Homer has something to tell him. And he immediately, blames Homer and gets back in the taxi. Homer's driving. They're driving home from Detroit, and Bart ends the episode with, "Dad, I thought your car was really cool." And
indicator number two, that the car was terrible.
Yeah, Homer's like, "I was waiting for somebody to say that." This is a really good one. I thought it was great. Let's see. I know we missed a few things I wanted to mention. Frank Lloyd Wright, all the architecture of Herb Powell, like his house, the factory, all that stuff is Frank Lloyd Wright inspired. Looks like real Frank Lloyd Wright buildings. Herb is fine with Hawk and Loogies off hot air balloons. Homer thinks rack and pinion steering is called rack and peanut steering.
Same diff, right? You know?
Yeah, rack and peanut steering is the same as rack and pinion steering. No, but, overall really good. I think it's also interesting that they kind of, normally, these kind of stories are, the rich man kind of has his humanity redeemed by the blue collar guy.
Not destroyed, as in this game.
Not destroyed, but in this, the Simpsons, they flip it on its head and make it so that Homer, the blue collar dum-dum, ruins poor Herb Powell's whole industry and infrastructure. I think it's really funny. It really subverts expectations in that way. Of course, we expect Homer to fail pretty much at every step along the way, but to do it in such a monumental effort is great. And I don't think the ending was too, I don't know, I saw some criticism online at the time that the ending was a little too dark, but I don't think so.
Nah, it's not dark, it's just Simpson-y.
Yeah, it's Simpson-y, but very good, very solid episode, very funny. Full of jokes. We will rank the episode at the end of the show. Next up, comments from the news group. Some couple nuggets. Apparently, I did not see this anywhere, really, but there's a lot of references in this show, in this episode, to a movie in the late 80s called Tucker, The Man in His Dream.
That's a good movie. Have you ever seen it?
I have not seen it. Jeff Bridges and Martin Landau got nominated for an Oscar for it, so I imagine it's good.
It's a very interesting story about a guy who basically wants to start a car company in like the 40s and 50s, revolutionary safety features and all that, and just basically gets driven out of business by the big car manufacturers. Very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like referencing that because it came out just a couple years prior this episode. I found this really interesting anecdote. I thought it was really funny from a guy named Joe on the news group. I'll read it for you. As loyal Simpsons fans, my wife and I tape each episode, read the net for discussion, have a Simpsons gift file on our refrigerator, and a Simpsons calendar in our kitchen. Even our daughter, 14 months, has a Maggie doll. This isn't overdoing it, is it? We don't have Simpsons bed sheets, Simpsons lunch pails, or even the Burger King Simpsons figures. Oh, we do have the Simpsons Sing the Blues CD, but that's still not going too far, is it? I'm sure that most of you have on this list have far more paraphernalia than this. So would someone please explain to me why my daughter's first word should be Bart? She points to the calendar and says Bart. She points to the gift file and says Bart. She points at Maggie and says Bart. Okay, so she's a little confused. She points to the TV each Thursday night and says Bart, 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 etc. She even points at the speakers and says Bart when we play Do the Bartman. She doesn't say Mommy. She doesn't say Daddy. She can't even say Cookie to have one. But let anyone with yellow skin and big white eyes walk by, and there she goes, Bart. Oh, well, there's just something about the Simpsons. Now we're just waiting for Maggie to start talking.
Yeah, you're still waiting, buddy.
Yeah, well, she's said a few words. not really talking, though. But yeah. I thought that was a really kind of cute anecdote, especially from the time period. Some little girl's first word was Bart. Now she's all grown up. Let's see, 14 months in 1991. Now she's 25.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
She can drink now.
She's hopefully a respectful member of society. On to our listener question of the week. What is your favorite Simpsons romance and why? Of course, you guys, always great responses. Love to hear it. Please keep it up. We have Kevin at KPYA2. My favorite Simpsons romance is Smithers and Computer Burns. Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. Sean at ShawnieMac15. Milhouse and Samantha Stanky. Impact that Milhouse's first girlfriend has on Bart makes her such a powerful one-off character. I really do like Samantha Stanky. I like that whole episode. It's really good. Danny at Woosh, Danny H. Has to be Lisa and Nelson. Opposites attract. Couldn't be any more true in that pairing. Jason, it says I choose you, and there's a picture of a train. No, Lisa and Ralph, if that's not evident. Darren, Lisa and Nelson, because you got to nuke something. It's very true. I don't know how to pronounce Graham, I'm guessing. I apologize if I mispronounce. Smithers and Mr. Burns, if that counts, just for the constant awkward moments. Smithers, you're quite good at turning me on, being a prime example. So two answers for Smithers and Mr. Burns. That's great. Jordan, I'll take the easy way out and go with Homer and Marge. From rediscovering his soulmate thanks to the space coyote to natural born kissers, eyes always on God's beautiful floor. Homer understands that everything revolves around Marge. She even dresses him, or one of her friends does. Matt, what's your favorite?
Well, I am risking the wrath in saying this, because in this household, the only Simpsons relationship is Lisa and Ralph. But I'm actually going to go with Lisa and Nelson from Lisa's Date with Density, as a couple of people pointed out, because it's just hilarious to see Lisa completely lose her mind to, she may be young for hormones, but to love, let's say. Nuke the whales and Nelson's house and, you know, putting stuff in Skinner's bird bath. Oh, just hilarious.
I'm going to say the same thing, Matt.
Oh, no.
Yep. Lisa and Nelson. That's mine, too. I love it. It's so good. It's really good. It really captures that kind of first love kind of ideal.
The first love because there's nobody else. There's nobody better around.
That scene where Nelson is outside with Willie and with the hose and sprays him in the face. And what hoose? Where's the noozle?
Noodles, what noodles?
Yeah, she doesn't even understand. Like, what? She doesn't even understand why she likes him. And I think that's so great.
I think we've all had that relationship before.
Yeah, you're like, what's wrong with me? This doesn't make sense. Her, like, internal monologue. I think I like Nelson. That's so good. So next week's question. Favorite extended Simpsons family member. So any family member that is not Homer, Maggie, Lisa, Bart, Marge.
And there are a lot of them. Any Simpsons family members count. Even ones who were only on screen for a few seconds. So
And Bouvier's as well. Bouvier's count.
As well. Yep.
Yep. You can find our listener question, answer them on our social media. I post the questions all the time every week. That you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. And you can also find us on Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach us any of those places, answer questions, give us suggestions, criticisms, corrections, like all those things. Like to hear from you guys. I love to hear from our fans. It's always great. On to the last segment of every show. The segment we do last every week, and then it's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. We made a small mistake last week going off an old list. Principal Charming is number 6, not number 5.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it's corrected in the master list, and now we're going off the correct list. We will proceed from there. Where does this one go, Matt?
Well,
it's a strong one. It's strong.
It's strong, but it's not like amazing. I mean, I'm not going to put it up with like Way We Was or Homer vs. Lisa and the Eighth Commandment, But I definitely think it's, I would probably put it as better than Bart the Daredevil. I'm looking in the 5, 6, 7 range. Probably not as good as Bart Gets Hit by a Car, because while Danny DeVito is good, he's no Phil Hartman. So, what do you think?
I know it's certainly not as good as Bart Gets an F or Where We Was, because those are the two stalwarts at the top right now. It's going to take a monumental effort for them to be unseated. I would definitely see it's in that kind of that range you describe. It is. I'm debating if it's better than Bart Gets Hit by a Car. This one's more solid. It does definitely really develop Herb as a character very well in such a very short amount of time. And it does have the Homer.
It has the Homer. It's just one of the things I kind of liked about Bart, he gets hit by a car, is that there are little jokes sprinkled throughout. And this episode, it doesn't really have that a whole lot. It's got a great arc. You know, all the characters are solid, especially the guest star, Danny DeVito, Uncle Herb. And there are a few jokes here and there, but they just don't seem to be as, you know, throughout the episode as it is in Bart Gets Hit by a Car.
Yeah, I can cotton to that. I think 6 is a good spot for it, right above Principal Charming. Can you good with that, Matt?
I am definitely good with that.
Okay. So, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? New number 6. Unseating just put there last week, Principal Charming. Right behind Bart Gets Hit by a Car. Bart Gets an F. Stills are number 1. Homer's Odyssey, still in last place. But eventually, something will unseat it as well. I think that's the tougher competition, honestly, is the stuff at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, all those season 1 episodes and everything, it's going to get to the point where we're like, wow, just throw it somewhere down there.
Yeah, we'll eventually get to some iffy ones, I think. But for now, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, number 6. You can find this list, I promise, I will keep it updated. I forgot for a week, and that's why we had that big problem. But on our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com, you can find all our new episodes there, streaming, downloadable, find links to our social media, easy click, link to our RSS feed if you want to listen to us through that, pages to contact us, donate to the show. You know, you've been to a website before. So, what's next week? Or what's our next episode, Matt, because this is going to be coming on Wednesday night / Thursday morning.
Our next episode is Bart's Dog Gets an F, a very Santa's Little Helper-focused episode.
Yeah, some SLH action. You like that, Matt? You like that one?
I like that SLH, yeah.
Okay.
SLH punk.
that's true. Surprised that hasn't happened yet. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter, follow everything I do online at Mixmaster Serial. It's MIXMASTERCREAL. Matt does not participate in social media. Can't find him.
That's true. However, if you are able to steal Hank Pym's ant communication device, feel free. There's a lot in my yard. They will get the message to me somehow.
Some deep nerd cuts there. I understood that. Hope you guys got it all as well. But until next time, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.